All right. Extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we just ask that you would be faithful. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Father, that we can see clearly, Lord, our Lord, as he walked this earth. Lord, clear our hearts and minds from the pollution and the things that come to us, the religion, the different ways that we've learned, Father. And Lord, help us see clearly your way, your path, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us be like you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you again this morning. A blessing it is to gather together. This morning I was really blessed with the boys' lesson of the idea of mercy. And how big a thing that is to the Lord, that we know that His mercy endureth forever. And it's a real blessing to just to know that, and the responsibility that falls upon us to act that way or to emulate the Lord. And I wanted this morning just to let's turn to Luke chapter 4. I want to read verse 18 to begin with. Not just real sure where we'll wind up this morning, but I want to start here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." I want just to remind us again first of all that what Christianity is about, or what Christianity is supposed to be about, or what it means to follow Jesus. We live in a world where that's full of religion, full of traditions, full of ideas of what it means to follow Jesus. We've all got a Bible verse, we've all got truth, but we just lose sight of Jesus. During the earlier part of the week, we were talking and just talking about truth. And I remember a few years ago reading something by A.W. Tozer. He said, "We can have truth as straight as a gun barrel and just as empty." And I thought just this week of how often we can have truth but not have light. We can have all the truth in the world, but if it's not filled, like Paul says, with charity, and it isn't guided by light, it is probably one of the most dangerous things in the world. I just thought of an example of someone with a nuclear bomb. I mean, it's got the power, it's all there, but in the wrong hands, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. And that's what happens with truth. Truth is the most powerful thing in the world. But when it falls into the wrong hands, it can be the most deadly. The very thing that was given to us to bring light and bring us to God often is the very thing that keeps us from Him. And that's the way we find so many things in the world that fallen into the wrong hands. And I think that's what Jesus talked about. He said, when He was talking about not casting our pearls before the swine, when he talked about not casting our pearls before the swine, when He spoke in parables, He wasn't wanting to give the precious things of God to people who would abuse it or misuse it. But today we live in a time when everybody's got a Bible, and we can just pick up a Bible and find out our truth and find out something and just jump up and down on it and not have one bit of light in it. And it's just a dangerous thing. The closer people think that they have to the truth, and the missing the light, missing what God is wanting, and missing what it is to be a follower of Jesus, how deadly and how dangerous that little bit of truth is. And it's a sad thing. In this verse, we just in Luke, where we read where Jesus had taken the book of the prophets. These people had the prophets. They knew what they meant. Had it all figured out. They had their religion. And Jesus opened this book up and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It wasn't the spirit of religion. It wasn't the spirit of what they had. You'll find in the later part of this chapter, they drove Him to the brow of the hill and were going to throw Him off headlong. They were angry with Him. And all He was saying was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." All He was saying was, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me." And that was worthy of death to the religious and to the world. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." One of the earliest things that everybody's hears the message. Everybody that wants to, they go. And one of the earliest desires I had was to go to the very worst place in the world. To go to the place where nobody was cared for. To go to the place where that the people were despised and they weren't worthy of hearing the gospel. That's the place I wanted to go whenever I began preaching. I wanted to go where, to the very gates of hell as it is, to preach the gospel. And we've spent many years going to the places, trying to find the roughest places, the worst places on earth. Well, I've spent days walking around some of the big cities in the world just saying, "Take me, get on a bus and just take me to the worst place in town." Just so that I could find, wound up in the areas where the trash heaps are. Where they just take all the trash from these huge cities around the world and find that there's filters there. People are living there and they make their living sorting out the garbage that's there. And you go to the next step, and it's amazing that after 3 and 4 times of being filtered out, there's still people filtering out the garbage there to try to find the poor that want to hear the gospel. And I find that even in these places, even in these worst places, everybody already knows. And they're not interested. They've got their Bible. They've got their theology figured out. They've got everything and they already know. And it's disappointing, it's discouraging to preach and look for poor people. Not necessarily with no money, but people who are poor in spirit that don't have it all figured out. Somebody just wanting to hear the gospel, just wanting help. Not just to consume it upon themselves, but someone wanting help. And that's what Jesus came into a world. He talked about people that were sheep without a shepherd. And how often we see that, people that are just left behind, sheep without a shepherd. And yet, very few are just willing to listen to that and hear and just be guided. Most people don't want guided. They already know. They don't want a shepherd. They want to tell the shepherd how to do things. How to correct the shepherd instead of being shepherded. You know, I'm just thinking about this world, and we have what we call three-dimensional. I'm just thinking about this morning. You take a three-dimensional picture. That means you can see a depth in the picture that you're looking at. So, it's not good enough just to have one thing right. There's more depth to this world than just one image on a piece of paper. We look around and we can see that there's a depth even in the congregation here. There's depth here. You know, a lot of times we stop at that three dimension. But the human being is many dimensions. There's a spiritual side. There's a mental side. There's all kinds of dimensions. And we usually just stop at the one and don't go any further. And we think that if we have the one, we've got it all nailed down. And we often miss a whole depth or a whole dimension that we just completely miss. But we think we got it because we got one down. Jesus came into this world. Jesus. This is the one we're supposed to be following. He came into the world and He was anointed to go preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the good news to people, the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. What's our message? Is it about keeping rules? Is it about just doing everything just so-so? He came to preach release to the captives. How many of us have been released from captivity? That's the message. Being released, being delivered from. And those of us that were, we forget it. We forget the bondage we were under. We live in a world that's cloudy. You know, I often ask the young people, is the sun shining today? Is the sun shining? It's raining outside. Is the sun shining? Some of you are saying no. You can't see the sun shining because of the clouds and because of the rain. But is the sun shining? Is it shining? Still saying no. It's cloudy. The rain is falling down. But is the sun shining? Yes, the sun is shining. It's shining bright. You know, even in the middle of the night, if I ask you if the sun was shining, is the sun shining? Absolutely, it's shining. Wouldn't it be a pitiful thing if the sun went out? Wasn't shining? There wouldn't even be a gray cloud around here. It'd all be black. Life is cloudy. Life is cloudy, but the sun is still shining. The Lord is still in control of everything. The clouds confuse us. They get us all mixed up. All the things in the world, that's Satan's main thing, is to keep us confused and cloudy and discouraged, and we lose faith. But the sun is shining. It's shining, and so is the Lord. The Lord is there behind all of it. If we can just see through those clouds to see Him shining. We get all tangled up in the darkness. It's hard to walk. It's hard to see. It's hard to see, know what we're supposed to be doing next. But we know the sun's shining and it will come out again. And we will be able to see it again. And so we keep on walking. We lose sight of the Lord the same way. He gets clouded in religion. He gets clouded in tradition. He gets clouded and we get turned aside sometimes. We get all mixed up and we get carried away with the storm. And we forget the Lord is just shining right on there. That's what Christianity is about. Is about keeping our focus on Jesus and what He came to do and what His purpose was and how He wants us to be like Him. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who's striving to be like Jesus. We lose focus of that so easy. Our flesh, it turns us aside and we lose sight of it. The situations that come on our way, it's just like a big cloud, big rain cloud coming. And boy, where's the sun? We don't even know where it's at. We just walk in the little bit of light that's left. But it's still there. And we need to remember. We need to come back. That's what the Bible's for. The Bible's not a way to that we can find a way to get up on somebody else that seems to be more religious than I am. It's not a way just to find out how I can condemn someone that looks more righteous than me. That's what they were trying. That's what the Pharisees were doing here. They couldn't stand Jesus because it says here He spoke with authority. He spoke with knowing what's about. And it condemned them. They couldn't stand it. So they drove Him to the bow of the hill to throw Him over. Because He had a little bit more light. So they just were waiting for some little area of light that they could find. And they could rise up in their own self-righteousness. They could take a Bible verse and just pound Him to the ground with it. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus came to offer deliverance to the captives. You know, we were talking last night with a lady caught up in some religious group, and she's finally coming to the realization that these people can't help me. And that's the problem with most religious groups, these strong Bible groups. And it seems like the more emphasis and the stronger they are on the Bible, the more they've got it figured out, the less they can help anyone. Most of these groups, they're just looking for perfect people that they can refine just a little bit. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for perfect people that will already fit with them, that they can just shave off the edges and make everything just look wonderful. They're looking for perfect people. And they can't help broken people. They can't help hurting people. Because that's not what they're interested in. They don't care about that. Oh, they would like to if they could put a little badge on their arm and say, yeah, here, look what we did. We helped this poor person. It's about like the world trying to help. They're trying to do it the way of the world. For appearances, it's like welfare. Throw a little money at a problem, but it doesn't help the person that's in it. It just puts them in chains to the person helping them. That's all it does. It limits their ability to actually get a helping hand, to be delivered from something. It puts them in bondage to something much worse. And that's what most good things that in the world wind up doing. They look good, and it seems like there's somebody really trying and really helping. They just do all they can to help people, and all it does is bring those people in bondage to them. Because now, not only are they in bondage to what they were in bondage, they're in bondage to the person trying to help them. And it just piles on and makes the person feel absolutely desperate and helpless. That's why they're rioting in the streets and places, because it's people in bondage that feel hopeless and helpless because there's no deliverance. They just throw some aid at them. And that's not helping people. Sure, we all want to help, but just aiding someone in this bondage is not help. They need to lift out. They need to help up. They need set free. Because that's what Jesus came to do, is set the captives free. He has came to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. I know, I've been blind. I remember being blind by religion whenever I was growing up. I was blind by it. That's what I think Jesus said whenever he talked about not to judge. Because the same way we judge, we will be judged ourselves. He talked about that take the beam out of your own eye. And I've heard a lot of people say what that beam is. You know what I believe that beam is? Is the idea that I'm looking at somebody through my own lenses. That I'm judging people by what I see in my own heart. Is that beam? That beam is myself. And so I look at people and I think, oh, I know what they're up to because that's what I see in my own heart. That's why Jesus said, get that beam out. What greater beam would there be than yourself? What greater distortion of what I see in someone else than myself? That's where mercy comes in. That from the heart, not looking at people like I am, but looking at people like God sees them. God is good. That's why He's so full of mercy and grace and patience. Because the old garbage isn't in His heart. The pollution that we have as a filter to see other people is not in God's heart. It's pure. So He looks upon people not as someone to condemn and hate and be better than, but a heart full of compassion and mercy and kindness and goodness, because that's what it is in His heart. That's the beam that we get in our own eyes, is ourselves. That's what Paul talks about. Why do you condemn someone? In chapter 12 of Romans, he says, why do you condemn someone when you're doing the same thing? They might not be doing it outwardly, but the reason there's condemnation is because it's what's inwardly in their heart. It's all covered up by religion. But the corruption of the wickedness that's in their own heart is the very filter, that very beam that they look at every other human being with. Recovery of sight from the blind. To be able to look at people the way God looks at people. With a pure heart. Not with suspicion. Not with, and I'm not saying you're just completely naive and just go running headlong into everything. But there's a clear filter to look through You're not looking through your own trashy suspicions and your own corruption that's in your own mind. It's been cleared so that you can see clearly. You know, when someone's doing something, Jesus called it what it was. It wasn't because he was clouded with condemnation that he was trying to look at that person through. He just saw what it was and called it what it was. Whenever he saw the Pharisees, he said, "You look like a bunch of snakes." Because that's exactly what they were acting like. When he saw people scheming, he called them foxes. He called them exactly what they were. When he saw someone acting like a fool, he said, "That's foolish." He wasn't blinded. He saw things as they were. He wasn't judging them through his corrupt filter, because his eyes had been opened. And the religious people couldn't stand that, because he knew he saw them for what they were. That's why they wanted to throw him off the cliff. Because they wanted their blindness and their darkness. He came to give recovery of the sight to the blind. It's just a blessing to be able to see. We think about these blind men that came to Jesus and they were crying out. Can you imagine? Sitting in darkness, not being able to see. And then all of a sudden, light, colors, people, faces. They could see. From darkness to light. And it's the same things with spiritual things. It's the same thing with following Jesus. Religion keeps us walking in darkness and blindness. But light helps us see people as God sees us. One man, he saw men as trees. He was still kind of clouded. But then he touched him again and he said, "Now I see men walking. I see things clearly." That's what we need. Keep our focus on Jesus and being like Him. That's what it's about. It's not lawlessness. It's not just doing whatever we want. If we are like Him, we will be like Him. To set free those who are oppressed. To set free those who are oppressed. What's more oppressive? What's the most oppressive thing in the world? There's nothing more oppressive than people who think they have truth. I've said before, Christianity, as it is the cruelest thing that there is in this world. It's mean. It's mean. Because I've got truth. And I have the authority to condemn you. I have the authority to say I don't want anything to do with you. Because I have truth. That's cruel. That's mean. And it's ugly. And it's not Jesus. It's not what He was. He came to look about who He could help. He came to look who He could set free. Not to bring under their control. Not to bring under their thumb. But to simply set people free. The human spirit doesn't need a lot. It doesn't need controlled. It needs set free. And when it's set free, it will explode into what it's supposed to be. You know, the parallels we've talked about among the spiritual things and the physical, looking at the political situation in the world, it just amazes me how, for instance, what this country, the principles, the goals that this country was established on, they call it Judeo-Christian principles. And the principle is freedom. And their idea of what this country was established on, if you will just let people free, they will prosper. And we've seen it. This is the most wealthiest, most prosperous nation in the world, the most giving nation in the world. And they're just simply following a basic principle. Let men be free. Oh, there's some that need restrained. That's what government is for, to govern those who will not restrain themselves. That's the purpose of government, is to govern those who will not. And when you put that same principle in religion, most religion is just governing people who won't govern themselves. Because we think they've all got to be governed, just like government does. It exists for the purpose of governing. And so they don't want people to govern themselves. That's what religion does. They don't want people to govern themselves, because then I have no value. If I can't govern you, that's what most bureaucracy is. It exists to create more bureaucracy so that we can govern and govern. They don't exist. The government doesn't exist, for the most part, to get rid of problems. I've said this before, that most people, I've seen things established to fix a problem. And the problem, the solution is right in front of their face, but they don't want to fix it. Because if they fix it, they won't have a job anymore. That's what Christianity does, the same thing. It's just a parallel. They don't want people free, because then I can't govern them. Jesus came to set us free. We've seen the principle work in the physical realm. And the same principle will work. If you want to be free, you can be free. And you can be free indeed. And that freedom to follow Jesus on your own accord, when you're set free, you'll flourish. If that's what you want. If that's what you want. Don't lose sight of Jesus and His purpose to be free, to set men free. That song, "Let us, Jesus died," or how's it go? They've died. He died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. There's a principle, there's a purpose, there's a right thing in that. Let us give our lives to make men free, because that's what Jesus came to do. This is what He came for. And He taught us how to do it. He taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves. He taught us, get your own beam, the beam of yourself, out of your eyes. And you can see clearly to get the little sliver out of your neighbor's eye. You can actually become a help. You can actually reach down and help someone up instead of just putting another burden upon them and put another chain upon them so you can try to control them. That's not what He came to do. He came to set us free. That's the purpose. I think a lot of this falls in this gospel of today that says that Jesus came and was punished so that God could forgive us. It's a welfare mentality. that we're just going to take all this welfare from God. But all that is bondage. Jesus died not to pay God off, not to be a welfare check to sinners. He died to give you a helping hand up to set you free so that you can be free. The gospel of Jesus was He saw our bondage. He saw the plight we were in. He saw the dark clouds we were laboring under. He saw all those things. And He came down to this earth and He dwelt among men in this same darkness under Satan's oppression. And He overcame it. He overcame it to set us free so that He could defeat Satan and set us free. So that He could overcome the one that held us in bondage and become a deliverance. And that's what the church needs to be. The church needs to be a place of deliverance from all that's around us. A place to set the captives free. A place that lets blind men see. We all were blind at one time and we didn't see it. We didn't understand it and everything looked bad. What's black looks white to the world and what's white looks black to the world. But white is still white. The Bible talks about in Corinthians, it says they have the savor of death. And they have the savor of life. To the world, life looks like death to them. It's the last place they would want to go. Because it smells like death to them. Because the world calls white black and black white. But whenever someone comes to that, they come to that, they begin to say, wait a minute, this isn't the smell of death. This is life here. There's life. I thought it was death and it's life. And now the world stinks to them. That's what the church is. That's what He's called us to be. And we will be misrepresented. Just like Satan puts a cloud over the sun. He will misrepresent us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we thank You again for Your goodness. Help us to be like You. Help us to see the sun shining in the darkness, Father. Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Lord, You know our frailties, our weaknesses. Lord, help us to draw near that mercy seat to find power and courage and strength and temptation. Help us be faithful to You. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.